buckets of books, and we're talking about books we've read recently.
I am reading The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is a very strange choice for me, but I'm actually weirdly enjoying it a lot. It's really funny. The dialogue is sort of screwball, quick, back and forth, a lot of jokes. I was reading it right before this, and they said they were about to die, and one guy said, "At times like these, I wish I'd listened to what my mother said." And the other guy said, "What did she say?" And he said, "I don't know, I wish I'd listened." You know, things like that that kind of feel like an old movie. And it's kind of dark if you think about it more broadly. Right at the beginning, the entire Earth was just eviscerated, leaving only one guy and one alien who'd been living there. But I think it's really fun and light and kind of a page-turner. I'm really surprised by it.
It's definitely not at all your usual type of book, I think. But I think there's something appealing about the, like, break from... I don't know, break from these older British romances that you find, or just, like, I don't know.
It's true.
I think when you're not expecting a book to be anything special, and then you enjoy it, it's, like, more special than it could have been, you know?
It does feel that way, and it, you know, somebody got it for me. Obviously, I didn't pick it out for myself, but I think you're right that I do really love these old British... Victorian novels, and I don't find them dense like a lot of people are, but objectively they're kind of dense, you know. So I think that it is just sort of a palate cleanser for my brain, just to laugh. It's almost like watching TV. It feels like it's really visual. It's just reading for what feels like purely entertainment.
That's fun. Yeah, that sounds like just like a very like enjoyable experience, which is like, I feel like I sometimes forget that I don't have to read like a classic that I've been meaning to read for a while, or this deep book that I'm reading for school, and I can just like read to enjoy the reading process.
Right. I feel that way too. My to-do list for reading is so long, and many of them are classics or just things that are kind of buzzy or things that were recommended to me. Things that feel like I should be reading, but this is really good, and I'm not a sci-fi person, so I actually would recommend it. I'd recommend it to you probably, just maybe for the beach or when you're in between two, like school projects or in between kind of longer novels. I picked it up now because there's a longer novel that I want to get into next that I want to take on vacation with me, so I thought I would just kind of kill this one real fast, and it ended up being perfect. I'm enjoying it.
How far into it are you?
Maybe a third. But it's pretty short, and like I said, a page turner. The dialogue is good. It's really visceral. It's like a lot of it is kind of talking about, it's a book within a book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So there will be passages from that book that kind of get into like the poetry of different aliens and the best cocktail in the galaxy and things like that that are just fun.
Is it like a first person narration, or is it a more omniscient style?
It's third person limited, basically, or maybe omniscient at times. I guess it's omniscient. But it's mainly two characters, and one of them is this British old man kind of, like, stuck in his ways who didn't know about extraterrestrial life at all, and the other is a guy who had been living on Earth and doing research for the book and kind of posing as an Earthling and just a little bit off, you know, not that great at it, but not horrible at it. So he's kind of, like, the guide, kind of the book personified, because he's a researcher for it, and it's just all words. It's snappy,
fun. That sounds like a super fun beach read. I asked about the narration because I've realized that I really don't enjoy first person styles.
True for myself.
I don't know what it is. I think they sometimes feel too obvious to me, or just like not I don't know, I'd rather read about a character from the perspective of the writer, even if it's not the writer's perspective, the perspective of the narrator, I think, is more interesting than the hearing it directly from the person. But I don't know, but this sounds like a super fun book that I've now been convinced to read.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've ever read you writing first person either, but...
Oh, yeah. That hasn't been intentional, but maybe it was subconscious, a choice.
I don't do it as much, but I do think it's harder. There's that intimacy that can be nice, but also mm-hmm. you really are limited and have to stay in that person's voice. So I like it when it's done well, and I do it myself sometimes, but I feel like third person is just more natural all around.
The book I'm reading right now is it's 100 Years of Solitude.
No, wait, that's the book that I'm taking on vacation with me.
Oh my goodness, this is crazy.
I've already even started it a little bit.
I'm reading it for school because I might have mentioned this, but my English class this semester is The Politics of Magical Realism, which is...
Yes! This is blowing my mind.
We haven't been so in sync in a while.
First episode, and realized that we both love The Secret History so much.
I lent my friend my copy of The Secret History, and she finished it last night. So I just put it back on my bookshelf 5 minutes ago. I love this magical realism class. I've always loved magical realism, and if I had to pick a genre that was my favorite, I think I would have said magical realism, but now I'm convinced that it is. We've only had a week or so of classes, but we spent all of last week reading short stories and sort of getting into the history of magical realism, and I realized that it is all about the form of the writing and the style of the writing, and also really about language and how we tell stories and why we tell stories, and then also about time, which the podcast listeners don't know, but I talk about all those things, I feel like, a lot in my writing. So it's all about how language evolves over time and how people evolve and art evolves over time, which fascinates me. And then I read in 8th grade, I read 100 Years of Solitude because my advisor recommended it to me, and I was incredibly confused, and I kind of had to force myself through it. And then since then, I've been oh, I really want to reread this book. And then I just it was very intimidating to me, and I never got around to it. And now I'm 60 pages. It's very long. I think it's almost 500 pages or 400 pages. And I'm 60 pages in, so I'm still very much so in the beginning, but I am super loving it so far.
That's so funny, because I've even started it, and I almost talked about that one, but I'm toward the beginning still, and I'm really excited to read it on vacation, because I'm going to Cartagena, Colombia, where Marquez's house is.
That's so cool.
It just seems so perfect, and I thought I would talk about that experience, and I guess I still will next time, but don't spoil anything for me. But I've been finding it really beautiful as well too, and maybe I haven't been able to wrap my head around all of the aspects yet, but I kind of think I'm not quite supposed to. I could see how it could be difficult for you when you were younger and maybe not as into it, but I think that it'll all kind of reveal itself in a satisfying way, is the sense I get so far.
Yes, the thing that really confused me the first time I read it, and I don't even remember anything, I don't really know how much I was processing when I was reading it, but everyone has not the same name, but they have some variation of the same name, and that when I was first reading it, I just could not keep track of the characters. So when I started this time, I knew I would be able to understand the language, but I was worried that I would just lose track of it. And it's told in time is this circle, and there is no chronological telling of any story. But I've been maybe because I was scared to read it almost, but I found that often it'll be telling some story and it'll be related to one character, but the character doesn't say their name for paragraphs. But I found that I've been able to tell which character it is, just because even though it is this omniscient narrator, the tone they take on when they're talking about the patriarch of the family, I can tell that they're talking about the patriarch because of this power he has, or the points of view that they've established he has. And it's I'm able to follow it along, even though it's you're not really supposed to follow it, you know. I think I've realized that, like, just accepting that it's crazy and it's all over the place and, like, to just, like, go along with it. But I'd never learned, like, about Marquez's, like, history. So super cool that you're going to visit him. I've, like, now been learning all about him, and he seems, like, amazing.
I don't know anything about him, really. I just, you know, I loved Love in the Time of Cholera, which right. apparently is, you know, it's not set exactly where it's set, but it's set in a port city in the Caribbean in Colombia, so, you know, it's kind of, like, understood to be Cartagena, mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe one other thing. So I'm really excited about that aspect, but I don't know anything about him personally, so I'm curious if you have any things that's added depth to it for you.
The main things was that, like, it took him, like, 18 months to write 100 Years, and then the, like, it became an instant sensation, like, immediately, which I feel like happens with authors, but it's, like, I don't know, this was, like, a while ago, and I think it's, there are different receptions to writing now. So he became, like, a global international sensation, and people called it, like, the literature of the Americas. Like, people were so, and still are, so obsessed with, like, finding the quote-unquote American novel, and they're like, oh, this is the novel of the Americas, and, like, he brought, I don't know, we watched this video of him saying that he quote-unquote, like, brought the Americas to the map, which I don't think is totally true, but I think he brought Latin American literature to, like, on a global stage. And 100 Years of Solitude is the town in it where everything takes place is supposedly based on his, not supposedly, it is based on his hometown and, like, where he grew up. So mm-hmm. that'll be super cool for you to read it while you're there.
Yeah, I don't know if, I just happened to see kind of in my research, like, oh, Gabriel Garcia Marquez's house here. And I don't know if that's, like, his hometown or where he grew up, but at least he
still lived. His area.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I kind of want to reread Love in the Time of Cholera, but I decided to read Solitude instead. But I also really recommend Chronicle of a Death Foretold if you've mm-hmm. never read that. It's not really magical realism, but it's really short. And I first read it in a creative writing class because it's so smart structurally. The story is told backwards, basically. Oh, cool. And it's a quick read, but also really good.
That sounds cool. I'm, like, loving this, and I'm going very slowly because I'm reading it for class, so it's, like, I have to, like, actually stop and, like, understand everything that I'm reading. But I want to reread it and, like, not have to worry about the analysis of it so much, just, like, experience the confusion and the magical realism of it.
Yeah. I was getting a little confused about the names, too, but then I realized my copy has a little family tree in it. Yours have that.
I mean, mine does have a family tree, but many people on the family tree have the same name, and so yeah. I've sort of lost track. I, like, next to the names, I've labeled the order that they're introduced in and, like, the order of their ages, just so I can, like, keep track of it for myself and, like, sort of lost track even then. It's, like, if I'm not paying attention, I have no idea who they're talking about, but I've realized, I don't know, the more I read, the more a semi, not chronological, but, like, the more I can see a step-by-step story developing, which mm-hmm. helps, but I'm sure once it gets farther on, and there are more and more people, I'll start to lose track, but
yeah. That's smart, though, to take a few notes, because I feel the same way, that it's kind of easy to distinguish as you're reading based off how they been set up and just their voices and everything, but the names are similar. But then I found that if I relied on the family tree too much, that there are kind of spoilers in there.
Yeah, there are.
I was like, oh, I guess he does end up marrying this child then. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know how far you are, there's a lot of weird descriptions of girls in it where it'll be like, the young girl who was not even 9 years old was the most beautiful, sexy person he had ever seen. And it's like,
yeah,
that's come up. I'm not a fan, and it's happened, like, more times than I can keep track of so far, which is strange, and I, like, don't know what the deal with that is. Because it's, like, it's not like this was written in, like, the 1500s when everyone was getting married earlier and dying younger, you know? I think it was written in, like, the 80s or something. But I don't know what the deal with that is. But...
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, now I'm trying to think back. Like, do I think that he writes women well? Maybe not.
So far, I've really only met, like, two named women. And one of them is the mother, and one of them is this, like, quote-unquote provocative fortune teller.
So, yeah, I don't love that character, but I do like Ursula, the mom.
I like Ursula a lot. She's, like, interestingly powerful, and, like, I like that she's, like, always criticizing her husband for not being imaginative, because I feel like it, like, changes what you define imaginative to be. Like, he's a scientist, and she believes in God and, like, order, but she's the one who's saying, like, oh, you need an imagination, which is interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, and in Cholera, it's a large-scale love story across many years, and so, obviously, there's the two main characters, and they're pretty, like, Romeo and Juliet-like. Mm-hmm. He is kind of, like, has his head in the clouds, super sensitive, romantic, and she is sort of more pragmatic, so, I guess, so far from what I've read, kind of, for women, he has mothers and lovers and, you know, the temptresses, mm-hmm. but, and then kind of, like, the wise, pragmatic women, too. So maybe not as much depth as I would like here.
Maybe not. Maybe that's the flaw. But I don't know. There are so many characters and there are so many people who still have to be born that I am hopeful to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm only on, like, the third or second tier of the family tree.
Yeah, but same.
But let's talk about it more next time, because
yes,
I'll
be
let
fun.
You know how it is from my end and reading it on the trip and when you finish it, too.
Yes, and I'm not so far in yet, but I definitely recommend it.
I do so far, too, but we'll see.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks on Buckets of Books.